Finally, The Rock has come back to take down the most electrifying man in sports entertainment history. Raises the people's eyebrow to these two candy asses. So if you smell it, what The Rock is cooking.
Start off our morning like that.
Start off our mornings like this. Welcome, folks. This is Take Two Takedown on a nice, bright, early morning recording for you.
Yep, we're in the studio early. We started our Festival of Friendship.
Festival of Friendship!
Wow, we're so tired this morning. We're off on our
Festival of Friendship! Friends through eternity, loyalty.
I decided to come in early to put the finishing touches on the Hand of God mural with just mine and Craig's face.
Right, right.
And as I walk in, what do I see?
I'm already here. I've been working on our sculpture of you being E.T. in a little basket and me being Elliot peddling you around with a moon in the background.
I do gotta say, I love the way you swaddled me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And carried me in the basket.
Of course.
So gingerly and delicate, like I am an angel.
I mean, making it out of mashed potatoes left over from Thanksgiving was probably a bad idea, but
I don't know. I think the greenish hue that's getting on the potatoes right now kind of sets the mood.
I figure once it's done, I spray paint it with a clear coat. It'll hold.
It'll be fine.
But we are together again.
It feels so good.
Feels so good. So good for us to be together for you guys. I'm glad that Mr. BS came in and forced this friendship upon us, because then we realized how much we truly love each other.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we need to be set on the right path.
Exactly.
But we're always on that path.
We are, because we are here for you.
For you.
The listeners.
Especially our new ones.
Oh, we do have new ones. We are all the way up to 63 followers as of this morning.
We're recording beasts.
I mean, we might as well. Pretty sure we're worldwide famous now.
I think we could be the Brock Lesnar and Titus O'Neil of the podcast wrestling shows,
mm-hmm.
being the Beast and worldwide.
I love it. I love it. Consider it done. It's what we are now.
I got the keys to the car. I just drove us there.
Mm-hmm. I love it. But if you're not following us on Twitter, please do. We are at Take Two Takedown. That's TAKETOO Takedown on Twitter. You can email us, take2takedown@gmail.com. Tell us how you're liking the show. Tell us how you liked our wonderful Festival of Friendship last week that we're just going to try and continue into this week.
Yeah, we're just going to carry it over.
Carry it over.
Like a little basket of goodies.
Like a basket of goodies. Like muffins we're bringing to Grandma.
Are we using manners again today, sir?
We might as well. Oh. Bringing our tea and crumpets and our pinkies out while we drink.
Such etiquette.
It's the only way to start a morning.
All right,
so I think we need to get into it. We need to get into Raw.
Let's jump right into Raw. Speaking of jumping, this first match,
mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins and Cesaro.
Right.
We knew it was going to be high speed, high flying.
We did.
A high level of intensity.
Mm-hmm. And we also knew that it would only be them two, since Sheamus is on vacation.
This hiatus to Ireland.
I'm assuming in some way soak in more moonlight to somehow be paler.
Well, I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works either.
He's going to be translucent soon.
It's some sort of leprechaun thing. I love the way
when they backlight him, Sheamus just disappears.
Just disappears.
And no joke, Cesaro's just as white.
Yep.
And then we have our good friend Dean Ambrose. I assume he's my good friend.
Right. I'm pretty sure we could say he is your good friend. No assumption needed.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Yes.
Enjoy your honeymoon.
And he is off honeymooning with one Renee Young.
Yes. Very nice.
Very nice. They will make some beautiful, crazy babies.
I don't know. We'll have like a Renee Ambrose wrestling hit the ladies' women's championship.
Sure.
Somewhere.
Let's do it.
Who knows?
Why not?
We'll get in it.
Why not? But their teammates, Rollins and Cesaro, fight. And like you said, it was a good fight.
I liked it. It was a back and forth. But, I mean, we've talked about it before. The issue that we're having here is it's the same thing over and over. It's like, what are you bringing to the table that's new? So, as much as we enjoy these wrestlers, and, I mean, granted, they are show openers. Next week, we'll see a match between Ambrose and Sheamus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they did announce, Rollins came out and said that next week, him and Ambrose are going to go for the tag team championship on Raw.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
So he did come out and say that. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be, because there often is, some other sort of mix-up between.
Like all these characters, I like the battle. I like the continuing efforts of each team.
Right, right.
But
I think we will get into this with most of this show. The fact that there is nothing for Raw, if I'm correct, until Royal Rumble, that was kind of shown this week in that there was some progression in storylines, but not a lot because they weren't in much of a hurry. So it's more of a, maybe we'll try this. Maybe not. It won't work. Who knows? Let's try.
Like, it was good enough. It held my attention. I didn't fall asleep, but it was like there. I didn't get a pop or a charge for anything.
No. Mm-mm.
You know, I think the biggest charge I got was with the ladies match, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But before that, there was the Titus O'Neil versus Samoa Joe.
And wait, let's go back. What? Rollins won.
Rollins did win. Sorry, you were right.
And
Rollins
you were right. They announced the challenge. Mm-hmm. So, will we have a title change next week?
I don't know. It's so far out from Royal Rumble for them, it seems like you do a title change now.
But, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
So, they gave the belts to the bar to wrestle the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the Shield would come in full and strong with Roman's there.
Right.
Now, Roman's got a belt.
That's true.
Ambrose and Rollins have vowed.
Sacred oath.
Crusaders of the wrestling world.
I'm pretty sure they did like a blood oath where they cut each other's palms and shake hands.
Yeah, I think they even spat on it.
Yep.
I'm gonna countermand you. I'm gonna say that there will be a title change next week.
I'm actually going to lean towards no title change next week, and they somehow drag this out to Christmas Day to make something happen on Christmas Day that makes it worthwhile for people to watch.
Mm. Good point. We'll see what happens. I'm going with the title change, though, next week.
Gotcha.
I'll live with it.
Gotcha. I like it.
Now. Let's talk about Titus
Now
Worldwide.
Let's get into Titus Worldwide. We love ourselves some Titus Worldwide.
The aminal
that
is Samoa Joe.
Right. And unfortunately, as we've discussed, whenever they put Samoa Joe against most people, it's just someone for him to destroy.
It's like, you know, putting bacon on a plate. It's going to get destroyed.
Exactly. Quickly.
Okay. Quickly.
Quickly.
So Joe comes out. Titus got some good shots in.
He did. Titus looked pretty strong. Like, he looked better than I think he's looked in a while.
And I like Booker T is calling it like a slobber knocker, a street fight, giving Titus O'Neil his props. And Titus showed, but Samoa Joe was just a better talent.
He is. And I think that was obvious and that became more obvious as it went on, but I still think I agree that Titus looked strong. He looked better than I think he had in a while.
Especially better than that first match against Samoa Joe and Apollo Crews where Titus just got choked out.
Right, exactly.
But Joe wins against Titus with the Coquina Clutch, which nobody can ever escape.
Nobody!
Except Finn Balor, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
He takes out Titus with the Coquina Clutch, and then Apollo says, "Not my buddy."
No! And he comes running out, and then
Joe knocks him out too with the Coquina Clutch.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
What I love about Samoa Joe is, like, his facial expressions. He comes out looking like somebody just kicked his dog.
Yep. He is out to eat and destroy people.
His whole persona in the ring is exemplified by just, like, him looking at you like, you are the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen. Yep. I don't know how much further you can go with, like, a Titus O'Neil, Apollo Crews against him. However, I do kind of like the idea, and this is a little bit behind the curtain, but it looks like Titus Worldwide's newest acquisition may be one Dana Brooks.
I did sort of see that, and I would like that sort of dynamic. I think that would look really good.
I like it. And I like how it's quietly building up a decent little powerhouse team within Raw.
Right. Right.
So we'll see where this goes, but I like this so far.
I like it.
So now we get to the match that held my interest the most.
I would agree. Probably one of the more interesting matches of the whole night.
So going back to my vanilla example, if the whole show was vanilla, this was at least the sprinkles on the vanilla.
Right.
You know what I mean? It gave me a little something.
Right. And a bunch of pretty rainbow sprinkles, too.
But the reason why I like this one so much is because it is new and it's fresh.
Yes.
Paige, yes, returning is Paige.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you bring in the Sandy DeVille and the Mandy Rose, and it's new. It's a pop. It's like, as a fan, I'm looking at it like, ooh, I want to see what they do.
Yeah, and I liked what they did with the, you know, it was going to be those three going against Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Mickie James. They come out, Sasha Banks comes out, waiting for the other two to come, and they don't come.
Their music pops. Right. We don't see them.
The music pops, nothing. Paige and Sandy and Mandy Rose come out, and they're like, oh, yeah, we took them out in the back. Like
They circle the ring a la Shield style.
Yes, which was great. I love the fact that they're sort of pushing that even into the female division. Like
they give Sasha the chance of Absolution.
Right, right, which is now their new team.
Yeah.
Absolution.
You can join us or fall prey to us.
That was pretty good.
And she fell prey.
She fell prey pretty hard.
They beat her down.
Pretty hard. And little cute butt Alexa Bliss, who was there at the commentary table, ran off as soon as she saw this happening.
And to no avail.
Right, yeah.
Because later in the back, she got her ass.
She got her ass handed to her.
So I like this. I like this Absolution. I like the like almost like the mean girl.
Yes.
Kind of feel to it, like you know the movie Lindsay Lohan, right. Mean Girls. Come
on. Do I know? Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sorry, I didn't.
The plastics and the
I didn't mean to insult you.
Yeah, you kind of did, but please continue.
Anyway, I like that feel, and I hope they let it build.
Yes, I agree, and I think I like this idea of them. You feel that they're dominant, but they don't even rarely fight in the ring because they're just going so off the wall. And we're taking people down in the back. We're taking people down on the side before they even get into the ring. Like, I like that because you never know what's going to happen.
I don't need the confinements of a ring.
Right, exactly. I will destroy you. We are heels. We will destroy you.
I'll beat you wherever I want.
Wherever I want to.
That's gangland violence right
that
there.
That is.
That's some ghetto shit.
Some ghetto shit.
And then we get into Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. I knew Bray Wyatt was going to destroy Matt Hardy.
Right. I am glad that even though this storyline is not really working for me, that at least one of my favorites, Bray Wyatt, still wins.
Okay, so I'm going to put this out there for you because the Christmas season is coming up.
Right.
Matt Hardy, when I was watching this match, reminded me of Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation so much that I was just like, you don't... They beating up on Cousin Eddie.
Right, they are. And I think now that he's going back to that sort of broken Matt Hardy.
Yes.
Back into that delete thing. Like, he's going full-blown Cousin Eddie crazy.
But, and, okay, finally, something I can appreciate about Matt Hardy.
Exactly.
I mean, as though it'll get played out quick, and WWE is notorious for beating a dead horse.
Yep.
But
yep.
We'll get the broken Matt Hardy out here. And I'm just going to wait for him to stand in the corner of a ring holding the hose going, shitter's full.
Shitter's full. Be really funny.
Talking about the steel plate being swapped out in his head.
For plastic.
Yeah.
If they did their Christmas episode with broken Matt Hardy just being Cousin Eddie for the whole episode.
With the dickie
and the white sweater so you could see through it. Oh,
the little black ear flap hat.
Oh, you're welcome for that one, Vince. We just wrote that storyline for you, Vince.
We're going to put that up on the table.
Yep. Yep, just for him to see.
Right next to his graham crackers and chocolate milk.
Right. Well, you know, he basically treats himself like Santa.
So, yeah, the whole thing of him sitting in the corner all upset, wiping, delete.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, here it comes.
Exactly. But they got to do something with him quick because he's
I mean, the whole fallen. Relevance. But the other thing is, like, with his brother out.
Yeah.
It's not the Hardy Boys.
No.
It's Matt Hardy.
It's Matt Hardy. And what... The most popular thing that Matt Hardy ever did wasn't WWE. It was this broken Matt Hardy delete thing that he did before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, coming back the second time.
So then we get into the cruiserweights all complaining that nobody gets a chance at the belt and we want to do this. And Kurt Angle goes, well, I'm in charge. I know I let it go a little bit, but... And I am literally with slack jaw hanging open.
Yes.
I'm in charge. He looks like... He belongs in a retirement home.
He does. And I don't know if it's the fact that he's been wrestling recently, but each week he's looking more broken himself.
So another behind the scenes thing here a little bit. After not this week's Raw, but last week's Raw, he came out and addressed the WWE Universe and gave them just a big thank you for letting him be part of WWE. Is this writing on the wall, you think?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week with the whole, they seem to be going almost McMahon's against Kurt Angle. And I wonder, this is leading into, you know, Hall of Fame run and all that sort of stuff. And then it's pretty much just going to be done.
I don't know. I'm taking it as writing on the wall. I don't see Kurt Angle being around for a lot longer.
No, at most I'm saying until WrestleMania.
Yeah. I would be amazed if he was still part of WWE, you know, on camera past WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree. But so, we got into the cruiserweight, so he decided to do these two fatal four ways where you're going to have four wrestle and then another four wrestle. Then the winner of both of those will go on to be the number one contender for cruiserweight.
So we got Tozawa and Daivari versus Swan and Noam Dar, which we realize is like the useless little Keebler elf of the entire wrestling world.
Right, correct. He's almost the James Ellsworth of the cruiserweight.
Yeah. Now that Ellsworth is gone,
someone's
got to
take
like,
his place on the lower rung of the totem pole.
He would be the crusty white crap under a steaming pile of crap.
Right.
He would be that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it was a nice match, like a lot of fun. We talk about the 205s, and we love to watch them wrestle in the ring. They're very entertaining. But I just feel like it's us against them, and 205 is basically taking a back seat. I kind of wish they would go NXT with it and let it be its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bring up its own talent and all that. But you gave it your own show, but yet you still fold it into Raw, and I think that's just WWE's way of
fatal four-way, because I think you're going back a little more to the sort of bracket system they had with the bringing on the 205 and the 205 Live. So I like that, but they gotta keep that going. Like, they gotta do something to make it interesting, because it's not. I mean, I've said before, it's not that interesting to me most of the time.
No, Rich Swann goes on to win this one, and, you know, rightfully so. He's probably the most talented out of that group of four they put in front of him.
Right.
However, I do like Tozawa.
I do. Tozawa's fun.
He starts doing that, I'm sitting in my chair going,
Of course
with
you
him.
Are.
So, well, of course you are. Because I am a true smark.
True smark.
So then we get to...
We at least get a belt match.
Yeah.
In an ICC belt match, Reigns against Elias.
Now, did you see the writing on the wall? Like, I like that they're giving Elias a little push. I've said it many times in our show. I actually like the character of Elias.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel they don't know what to do with him so much, but, hey, they give him a title match.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something, and I think he looked good. I mean, I think this is probably one of the best, if not at least better, matches that Elias has done in a while.
Yeah.
I think he looked really strong, more so than I thought he would.
You don't have a toolbox like Jason Jordan throwing vegetables at him.
Right,
so,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, good on you. You actually did something right by Elias.
And he still lost. But.
Yeah, but this was a carryover to introduce the... This was a carryover to introduce the rivalry of Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns again.
Right. And I like the way they did it with Reigns walking away, you know, all excited on the ramp, and then Joe just comes out and destroys him on the actual ramp.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Another coquina clutch.
Coquina clutch. No one can defeat it.
So then we see Dana Brooke.
Oh, Dana Brooke.
I love me some Dana Brooke, but she's in there talking smack like, oh, she got lucky. We're talking about Asuka here. She got lucky. It won't happen again, blah, blah, blah. Comes down to the ring. Within seconds.
Not, no exaggeration, folks. Seconds.
Taps out to an armbar by Asuka.
Right. This was Ronda Rousey-esque MMA fights. Like, yeah. Within seconds, she was gone.
Just done. But it was an intro to see what kind of, like, almost putting your toe in the water to see how hot it is.
Right.
Absolution comes out.
Of course.
Surrounds the ring.
Of course. So, you know, makes Asuka try and choose.
Asuka.
Makes Asuka try and choose, and she doesn't. She just walks out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what does that mean? Is she not with them? Is she not picking a side?
Asuka won't be with them. I think you're going to see her and Paige have a go.
I could see that, which would be good.
Yeah, but I think almost Jinder Mahal and Singh Brothers style, she'll have to go through the, you know, two NXT
right, she'll have
young
to go,
newcomers so that they can showcase their talent.
Right. I like that.
I like it. And then we go to our final match of the evening, and it's Kane versus Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan is just a catalyst for Kane and Braun Strowman to fight.
Right, right. And it's one of those things that I hate when I can see something coming before. Oh. And this is like, you know, you saw them fighting, you knew, and it's just like, and there was no surprise to it at all.
No,
like,
none. And you knew Braun was going to come out and beat up Kane with a chair, get his payback. So yep. He hit him twice in the throat.
Oh, no!
So Braun Strowman shows who's the boss. Mm-hmm. So this will carry us over to their pay-per-view. Kane and Strowman will fight. Then, this is my prediction, Braun will win and say, that's it, I'm done, I want Brock.
Probably. And, probably, I agree with that. Now, with that, does Kane leave? Like, how long is this run of Kane we're getting?
I don't know. Like, did he win the mayoral candidacy where he was running?
I don't think so.
And, I mean, Kane, shit, at what?
50? I don't even know if he's still running. He might even still be running for mayor now.
I think he's 51, 52.
Yeah.
And the man's a freaking beast.
He is. He is.
I mean, the problem is the wear and tear showing with the mask and the wig. It's old. It's haggard as you are. And, I mean, I don't know how to say it. Like, I don't want Kane to just fade away as a thing. Like,
exactly.
Kane was great in the
day. Exactly. And I want him to go out sort of strong.
Yeah, I want the pop that he had when he deserves it.
Yeah.
And Kane the wrestler in and of himself is a character that just is WWE.
Yes.
He's one of those 100%. Where you say, like, Stone Cold, Rock, Hulk Hogan, Kane, Undertaker.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
He is in that true legend status.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Kane literally has to crawl off and run through the WWE universe.
I know. Get
the
out of
that. Braun.
Exactly.
But it was a decent show.
It was I think we can both agree it was not the worst.
No, no, no.
It was not the worst we've seen in this quarter.
Like Halloween.
Halloween was probably the worst.
Horrible.
So it's not the worst we've seen recently, but it definitely was nowhere near best.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it's like the opening two or three paragraphs to what could be your favorite book.
Right. It just turns out now, because we have Royal Rumble coming up in mid-January, this book may be a little bit longer than they have been recently.
And it's nice because you get that opportunity for a build-up.
Yes.
So we'll see where Raw goes with these stories.
Yes. And then we get into SmackDown the next night.
And what happens?
I believe the text you sent me was, why does Shane McMahon have to stay up at the beginning of every SmackDown and reiterate what happened last week on SmackDown like he's a stand-up comedian?
Yeah, I don't get the stand-up routine of, now I've got to come to the ring and tell you everything that's going on. We're fans.
Right.
We watch. We all know.
We
follow. We know what's going
Nobody
on.
Nobody watched SmackDown last night that didn't watch SmackDown before. Like,
you mean, nobody watched SmackDown last week.
Last week, sorry.
Last night was Raw.
Right. Nobody watched SmackDown last week that didn't watch SmackDown before. So they know what goes.
So, Shane, I don't need the recap every week. Right. I don't mind if you come out to the ring and address it.
Yes.
But you don't have to retell the story.
No.
You remind me of, like, my mom, where she's trying to give me directions, but she has to go through, like, the book of Genesis on how to get there.
Right, right. This is just him. He's wearing his blazer and tennis shoes and being very Jerry Seinfeld-esque, and how about these wrestlers?
But after he goes through the 5 minutes of telling us everything that's happening on SmackDown that we don't already know,
right?
He calls out Daniel Bryan.
And says it is his fault.
His fault. That those two knuckleheads still have a contract.
That Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are still here. It's because of you. You know, and it's hard to watch people yell at your older brother.
Yeah. But Daniel Bryan goes, no.
It is. And I'm wondering if this Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan tension and the Stephanie McMahon Kurt Angle tension will somehow overlap.
Do you see a swap, maybe?
I don't know if there's a swap. I feel like the fact that they're doing sort of this similar story on both shows either means lazy or hopefully towards something bigger.
I don't know.
For the WWE universe as a whole.
I don't know. We'll see. Now, Remember, SmackDown and Raw get notorious about once a year they do a big talent switch.
Right, right.
So maybe this is a kind of build to that.
Maybe. Like, and we're talking maybe general manager switch, yeah.
Well, no, we're getting rid of our general managers. We're going to do a whole new draft, and we're going to rebrand SmackDown and Raw, and I don't know.
If they decide to get rid of Angle and bring in Corporate Kane as their general manager, I'm all in on that for Raw.
You and I.
That's the only time I'm good with Kane continuing to be here.
But so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I'm tired of the. Shane, thanks for coming down and giving me a 5-minute dissertation on what the hell happened.
What the hell happened last week? Yeah, he's basically the Cliff Notes of everyone.
We watch, Shane. Yeah. We're on board.
No.
You don't need to sell me on it.
Exactly.
I'm already spending my money. I have a SmackDown Live t-shirt. I'm okay.
I'm good. So the show opens with New Day versus the Benjables.
The Benjables, that you so aptly named them.
I'm waiting. I'm thinking this is going to catch. Well, I need to start doing hashtag Benjables.
Yeah, a media blitz, if you will.
Right, mm-hmm.
And we talked about it. Like, I'm a big fan of Shelton Benjamin. Not a big fan of Gable. He's kind of a pretty boy kind of thing. I like his talent, but, like, to me, of the two, Benjamin sells.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
When it comes down to comparing them together, it's not a comparison.
Yeah, and then I'm not a big fan of, okay, with the Usos, Gable, if you want to go knees and try to take out knees, fine, I get it. There's a history. But now you're doing it with the New Day, too.
Yeah.
So.
Which doesn't make sense.
And then we both admitted we're proud fans of the Power of the Unicorn. We're big New Day fans. So
We are.
Go New Day. And I got to say, it wasn't disappointing. It was a really good match. Watching Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. Just the two of them in the ring together are electric. The high-flying moves and quick tags and all that stuff. It's awesome to watch them wrestle together.
It is.
And, you know, Big E being the muscle, it's just Big E. Now, I was a little taken aback when he comes to ringside and he's got pancakes in his, you know, tights. And he's handing them over to the Usos. And my favorite comment of the whole time is, this syrup's supposed to be hot. Like... No, it's been in his junk.
Yes, that's why it's hot.
If you look at it, it's probably hairy, too. That's awful. So, there you go, Jimmy and Jay. They love you so much, they give you pubic hair serum.
You're welcome.
But the New Day goes home and wins that match. But it was a really good match. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And then we get into, which I think was one of the more interesting matches of the whole night.
Ooh.
Yes.
I loved it.
We get Hype Bros versus... Bludgeon Brothers, which we've been waiting for the Bludgeon Brothers them in.
So the Hype Bros call them out. They said, hey, listen, we didn't get a fair share last week when you just came in and owned us.
Right. That's not fair.
Now we're ready.
Yeah, let's go.
And once again, Zack Ryder starts out the match, and Luke Harper just owns him.
Yes, which I love. I love me some Luke Harper.
Oh, man. I think he's one of the most underrated wrestlers out there. Like, everybody looks at him like he's a country hillbilly guy, but here's a big ass dude that can move.
Move, exactly.
He can, I mean, just amazing.
The shit he can do at his size is ridiculous.
Yeah, and huge Redskins fan.
Right, therefore, we love him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So.
So that's why it's so hard to watch huge Redskins fan Luke Harper against former University of Maryland Turpin Mojo Rawley.
But it wasn't even against him. He was on the corner. That's Luke Harper dropped him off the ring, and then Zack Ryder just ate Matt and got pinned.
Right. I want to say this was another mere seconds match.
I would agree.
You know.
I think it lasted maybe 62 seconds.
Right, right.
But at the end, what happened? wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is something that I feel I've been waiting for Mojo to get this kind of storyline. And if they do it right, this is going to be nice. Like, I like this a lot.
The playing field has changed,
Kurt. The playing field has changed.
The field has changed. He said it.
He said
Mojo
it.
Mojo snapped.
Mm-hmm. And it was great.
Oh, I love it. I'm just waiting to see. Like, you and I are on the edge of our seats just like, okay, Mojo, where do we go now?
Right. Seeing angry hype is even better than just seeing hype.
Oh, I'm so ready for
it. So he snaps and takes out his own teammate.
Relentlessly
just beating
just
on him.
Pounding him. Like, it took 2 or 3 refs to, like, get him off.
It was so good.
And then he's walking in, he's got this angry Mojo face. And I like me some angry Mojo
face. Angry Mojo face.
And she's like, well, what do you think happened? And all he could say was, the field has changed. And he's intense.
He is.
Intense.
He is. So I'm hoping this is sort of a new kind of rebranding for him. And I like this sort of heel turn. I hope that they do this well.
Let's Keep it like the places Indians live. In tents. All right, then we get into the... then we get into the next match, where it's a handicap match. It's AJ Styles versus the Singh brothers.
This is a handicap match for the Singh brothers, right?
Well, you would think. We naturally assumed. But let's talk about the match, because it was actually a very good match for selling.
Like, it was. It was.
It opened up a good story, which I'm looking forward to. So, of course, the Singh brothers come out. They announce the modern-day Maharaja.
Jinder Mahal!
And he comes down, and he's like, I am going to support my team on the wayside here. And then, you know, we're all, okay, I see it. Yeah, I know Jinder's going to interfere a little bit, but let's
see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. AJ comes down, he does his ring pop, he's all in there. He's like, hey, AJ, we love you. And, you know, I've got a man crush on him since Survivor Series.
Right.
Out of nowhere, blindsided by the modern-day Maharaja. I just like saying that.
It is fun to say.
But blindsided to where he's got his butt stomped, and then the Singh brothers just jump in the ring and they start the match.
Go!
And I got to give it to WWE this time. Like, they let the Singh brothers actually wrestle.
Yeah.
And they were getting their licks in and getting some moves in, and it was nice to see.
It was nice to see them actually prior, especially when they had done just AJ versus one of the Singh brothers. And it was another mere seconds match that they were doing before.
But, I mean, I remember both the Singh brothers in the 205 competition, and they were very talented wrestlers.
Yeah, they're good.
So
they're good.
Hopefully, I don't want to say the Jinder Mahal thing burns out, but the Singh brothers should carry over into the 205, and they should be able to have a story there.
Right, and they may be leading towards that, considering that, you know, Styles wins, and then Jinder takes out his frustration on his own, on Singh brothers and knocking them both out.
Oh, like, just chokeslam both of them
right.
Like a piece of meat.
So I wonder if that leads into them possibly leaving him and then maybe going into 205.
I don't know, but, you know, don't let this be a one-trick pony for the Singh brothers. They are very talented wrestlers. Let them showcase that in their 205 division.
Right.
So then we get into the Riot Squad, which I'm a little taken aback, but
right. I mean, especially after Absolution, like it doesn't have the same feel.
I think of the two, Absolution is more my favorite, but I'll push the Riot Squad.
I'm okay. Yeah. So you got Liv Morgan, Ruby Riot, and Sarah Logan
as the Riot Squad, and then you've got Charlotte and Naomi, and then Natalya says, I can put aside our differences for this match.
Right.
They attacked me, too. Kinda. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
But anyway, she's like, I'll put aside my differences. We can do this. If you didn't see the writing on the wall on that one.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious.
But, you know, Charlotte and Naomi come together, and they're like, after what these three did last week to our friend, and then we get the big announcement, Craig. Get the big announcement.
The big announcement.
My Becky.
Right.
My Becky's hurt. She's hurt bad.
Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I cried last week. I'm not. My man up. Back the tears up.
Right.
Right? Not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
But Becky's hurt. She's going to be out for a while.
That's sad.
So, Becky, if you need anything, your man, John, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I love you, Becky Lynch. I love you. Now, this is what I'm predicting as a fan.
Right.
I'm kind of hoping that they take this and they kind of get the nice girl Becky Lynch edge taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets into the I'm out for blood kind of huntress.
Okay. I like where you're going
here.
She's
going to go through the Riot Squad one by one, exacting her revenge.
I kind of like that.
To her.
Especially if she does it sort of backstage style, like not even in the matches. Like,
just,
you know,
kinda
just
like
kind of taking them out one by one.
Becky Lynch is injured, but weird. Each one of them is getting attacked backstage, and we don't know by
who. Right, by some sort of masked leprechaun.
So we'll see what happens.
Who knows?
And the stamp on it is just like a gear, like a steampunk gear, like boom, guess
right.
who?
Mm-hmm. Or a metal shamrock.
Ooh.
Yep.
So I'm kind of hoping something like that happens. But anyway,
we have high hopes.
We get the big announcement that Becky's hurt and she's going to be out for a while. So I hope you recuperate well, Becky. If you need anything, I'm here for you.
Oh, he's always here for you.
I am. So we get into the match. the Riot Squad's getting their licks in, and Natalya gets a little beat up, and what does Natalya do?
I don't need you. I don't need any of you. I'm out of here. This is dumb. You're all going to laugh at me. You're all going to laugh at me.
And just runs away.
And Natalya is now, what, the Land of Misfit Toys?
Right. Exactly.
For SmackDown.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the box. I'm a train with square wheels.
Anyway. So she runs away. Now it's a 2-on-3 match. And Naomi gets thrown around and knocked out when the two of them just beat her with the steps.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that, like, aggression.
Yeah. There is sort of no holds bars with these both NXT teams coming in. Like, they don't seem to care.
And as much as she scares me, Ruby Riot has got some good moves. I love her finishing move of the Enziguri kick.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch. It is. But Charlotte can't hold up to all three of them. No, I mean, she held her own for a little bit.
She did, and she's good, but she's not that good.
They overwhelmed her, and the Riot Squad winds up winning.
Right, and they have to stretch her off, poor Naomi, I know, after getting destroyed against those steps.
So what'll
what's going to happen to her?
I hope she's okay. I need to feel the glow. And nothing is better than watching her dance her way out like a stripper coming down the stage.
I mean, if this is the time that SmackDown's going to call me up because I bought glow shoes, I'm ready. Just let me know, Shane.
Can't do that when I'm drinking. I got water in my nose. Because that is not Festival of Friendship quality.
You're thinking of me walking down the ramp doing Naomi's same dance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I see you working it.
Yep.
Light up neon fur.
You know it.
Sleeveless. Mm-hmm.
With my glow shoes.
Absolutely.
With my glow shoes. And then the final match of the night, that's they announced at the beginning, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. No Sami Zayn allowed in.
No rules.
No disqualification, no anything.
Nothing. And then we get the build-up throughout the whole show of Kevin Owens going, Randy Orton's a nut. He's going to kill me out there. I don't want
to. Right, but this is to avenge Team SmackDown's loss.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan looks pretty smart for this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So he puts him in the match, and it's a good match. Randy Orton comes out strong, starts beating up on Kevin. Kevin gets his licks in. Randy Orton winds up winning the match. You know, it was a good match. Now, I'm going to easily predict this one. We're going to see Shinsuke and Zayn next week, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That'll probably be Orton and Owens' week off.
Probably.
Because we'll have Shinsuke and Zayn on next week.
So that's what I'm seeing. And SmackDown, much like Raw, kind of a vanilla show. But yeah. Of the two, I would say SmackDown was a better show.
I would put SmackDown maybe vanilla, sprinkles, maybe a little bit of chocolate sauce. Not a lot.
No, just enough.
Not a lot. Just a little bit of hot fudge to make it like, hey, this isn't, I could do this.
It was a little bit better.
A little bit better.
Just accents.
A little bit better.
So I would say that. So with that, with the two vanilla shows, who is your face or heel of the week?
I don't know. This is a hard one, but I'm going to have to actually say, because I think he looked so good, I'm going to say Elias.
Really?
I liked how good he looked, finally, like, against somebody that's actually a good wrestler. I think him and Reigns, I think it was a good show. It was better than I thought he'd looked in a long time, and it makes me more excited to see what they'll actually do with him, putting him in maybe a little more higher caliber matches than vegetables being thrown at him by Jason Jordan.
Wow, I like it. I like it a lot.
So that's what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Elias.
I was a bit surprised. I thought you and I were going to have the same one. I'm going to go with Mojo. I like the turn to heel.
That was good. Yes.
I like the turn to heel. I'm looking forward to it. You got my attention. I want to know where he goes from here.
Yep.
So I really like that. Now, what was your favorite storyline?
I think my favorite storyline, though, may be the Mojo.
Oh, yeah?
Him turning heel and the hype bros being done, and him turning heel, and we don't quite know where this is going to go. I think I'm going to say favorite storyline is Mojo's heel turn.
I talked about it in Raw. My favorite storyline right now is Absolution.
Yeah. Like, that's a close second, definitely, for me.
Yeah. I like the fact that, one, it's given a little bit more spice, a little more flavor to the women's division in whole. I like the Paige coming back. I like the two NXT stars coming in and, really showcasing that we're the new superpower and Raw and all that. So
right,
I'm looking forward to it, and I find myself like, I want to know what's going on with these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and I think that has potential to go far if they do it right.
Yeah. So right now that's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully next week we'll have some better shows, but there's potential in both of these shows going forward to next week.
So
I feel.
Before we get into all our local events, let's talk about the holidays coming up, Craig.
There are the holidays coming up, as we determined with our crack research team yesterday. That for the first time ever, Raw will... Raw will be live on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Normally they show a taped event, or they do a tribute to the troops or something like that.
I feel like Santa has already gift-wrapped my present.
Right.
And
when we both leave our families... Christmas night.
Yeah.
To go watch Raw.
In the bunker.
Right. Because we're going to have to.
I think it's a moral imperative.
I mean, what better place to spend Christmas than with each other?
In a bunker.
In a bunker.
Because we are...
Festival of Friendship! Friends through eternity, loyalty, honesty,
we'll stay together through thick or thin. Oh, we're waking up
a little.
Oh. Anyway. But, with the holidays coming, I say we owe our fans a little holiday special.
I think you may be right. I think, do we do a gift opening special?
Ooh.
Maybe I give you some gifts and you give me some gifts and the wonderful audience can enjoy us opening said gifts.
I like where this is going. I like gifts.
I like gifts too. I like opening presents.
Yes. Yes, I feel... Perfect idea.
Perfect idea. We will have an unboxing special.
We'll light a fire in the fireplace.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll put on some chipper Christmas music.
Christmas tunes. We'll talk about some of the past WWE Christmas events that they've done.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I like where this is going.
I like where this is going. I think we can do this. We can do a Take Two Takedown holiday special coming to you, I'm going to say, week before Christmas.
I'm with you.
That way people can enjoy it. We will have a Take Two regular episode holiday special, and we will have a Take Two Takedown holiday special so people can enjoy their holidays with their favorite podcasts.
Yeah, great call. Great call.
You're welcome.
All right, so we've talked about gifts for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about gifts for the rest of humanity.
Right, which is all of the local events around
us. All of the local events.
You know, we have Right Coast Pro going on December 9th. There's strange happenings where there's weird, strange sort of stipulations in every match. You never know what's going to happen.
You don't know.
So that's always a good one. It's an annual one that they've done for the past, I want to say, 4 years.
Yep, the main card holder there is Big Gene Snitsky.
Big Gene Snitsky, he's going in a 2-on-1 match against Sir Spalding Savages.
So
hopefully that'll be entertaining.
My prediction,
mm-hmm.
Snitsky eats one of the Savages.
Like, just physically eats them. Like
No sauce.
No sauce, just eats them.
Right.
Not even some Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A.
No, but that's so good.
So good.
Oh my God, it's like liquid crack.
So
what?
What is better? Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A.
Ooh.
Hot mustard from McDonald's.
Oh. I don't know. It depends on the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I could always do a Polynesian sauce.
Right. I agree.
Knowing the hot mustard at McDonald's is there.
So good.
And asking for it.
Right.
Because it's saucy.
It is. It's saucy.
A little randy.
Saucy.
So, I would lean more towards a Polynesian.
I think that might be a good...
So
overall sauce.
I will sell it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
Polynesian would be the best girlfriend, but that hot mustard would be like your little dime piece on the side.
Because when it's needed,
it's there
and it's good.
So good.
When
you got to hit it.
So
it's
good.
It's always good.
Right. So if you want your tickets to Strange Happenings.
Is that a strange happening?
Right.
Or you just went off on some
right.
salt
You're welcome, Right Coast Pro, for that wonderful promo. Maybe we'll cut that part out when we send it to him.
No, probably not.
Nope,
leave it
probably
in.
Not. You can go to rightcoastpro.com, pick up your tickets for December 9th Strange Happenings event. And then Maryland Championship Wrestling, December 1st, they have their Seasons Beatings.
Seasons Beatings!
Which is, seriously, still one of the greatest names for any sort of December-themed wrestling event.
I do love it. Once again, I'm going to warn you, Sergeant Slaughter will be there. However, you may not see him. He is in a camouflage suit.
Right. I mean, you're never going to be able to find him. But this is a Toys for Tots event, as we mentioned last week. Bring an unwrapped toy. You get a goodie bag with an autographed 8x10 picture of somebody, one former star of another that has been with at a Maryland Championship Wrestling event. And you get in a drawing to win tickets to win tickets to the second row tickets for NXT show the next night.
Yeah.
So that's definitely worth. And as we discussed last week, we have a challenge to all of our listeners that if you were going to this event, bring a WWE-themed toy to the event to give to children so that we can pass on our love of wrestling to the next generation.
We've got to develop the youth of America.
We have to. And the only way to do that is little tiny WWE figures.
Or sad commercials with Sally Struthers in it.
That's true.
That's Feeding Ethiopians.
Oh, yeah.
Something
like that. Maybe we should make one of those commercials, but do how we should share wrestling with our youth, but do it Sally Struthers, Ethiopian child style.
I feel that would be a gift to society.
I mean, that feels like something we should do. That's a goal for 2018. Can't you donate an unwrapped toy to teach kids about WWE? Don't all kids deserve a wrestling buddy?
Mark it. Episode 8. We have our first advertising goal.
Goal for 2018. Yeah. This will be done.
We might even start a GoFundMe page to buy
equipment,
underprivileged and kids wrestling toys.
I could. I just see a bunch of kids running around in Ethiopia, all wearing Finn Balor masks, like just running around.
Or the Roman Reigns gloves.
Like running after each other.
I don't know what it is, but I was. So anyway, if you want to see. If you want to see Maryland Championship Wrestling, you can get tickets at mcwprowrestling.com. Good times.
Almost
as funny as our ideas for promos.
Right, exactly.
So, speaking of promos. The god of promoting.
I would say one of the top three, at minimum, promo people. That's also a wrestler, not a Paul Heyman just promo.
Yeah.
But we're going wrestler, promo type. I think we have to say The Rock.
Oh, The Rock, easily. And I don't know what got us on this kick, but you and I were sitting around all week just goofing off, and all we were doing was quoting things from The Rock.
Right.
So,
right.
With that in mind, here is your moment of The Rock.
Is cooking. Now, on to badass Billy Gunn. The Rock understands what took place. The night you won King of the Ring, you got down on your knees, put your little hands together, and you said a prayer, and it sounded like this. Oh, dear God. You see, my name's Billy, and I just won King of the Ring, but there's one problem. Everybody still thinks that I absolutely suck. And then at that point, Billy, your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this, Bob, but my name's Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is. You are absolutely right. You do suck. But there is one thing and one thing only you can do. You must go find the man who is simply electrifying. You must go find The Rock. Oh my God, anybody but The Rock. Know your role and shut your mouth. And then, Billy, as fear went through your body, tears went down your cheek, and piss rolled down your leg, your house started to shake again, the clouds parted, the heavens opened, and what seemed like millions of voices all said to you in unison, Jabroni, if you smell what the Rock is cooking.
And that was our moment of the Rock.
Moment of the Rock. And just like him, I feel we should go out with our hugs and pounds, our promotes, a la Rock style.
All right, I think you need to start off.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking, then you have to thank Jason and Resolution Alley for our theme song, Jabroni.
But there are no jabronis when we talk about our hype man, Freddie B, who actually did a Rock promo for us to start this episode this week.
And the fans know their role. They will get in touch with us at take2takedown@gmail.com or on Twitter at take2takedown. It's spelled T-O-O because we put the O's in the O face. take2takedown@gmail.com or at take2takedown on Twitter.
And for the millions.
The millions.
of people that use Amazon every holiday season to purchase their gifts. Because none of us want to leave the house. Because leaving the house is lame.
Because what's your name? It doesn't matter what your name is. If you're going to use Amazon, you should probably go through Take Two Podcast.
You should. Right on our website, we have a menu. You can click on it, get to the Amazon link. Shop on Amazon like you normally do. Nothing is different. No prices are different. You get their cheap prices. You buy old Christmas gifts. We just get a little kickback at the end from Amazon for promoting them.
Which is great for us.
Great for us.
And we will probably use that funding to buy the wrestling toys for underprivileged youth.
Right. Totally agree with
you. What if we just bought wrestling singlets for the underprivileged youth?
I think it's a great idea.
I mean, we're clothing them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the funniest things I like watching is when they show people from Ethiopia getting... Well, I don't know why it's always Ethiopia. But they show people, children there, running around in the losing team of the Super Bowl shirt.
Yay.
Because they always make two shirts.
Yeah, and yay, like, 49ers.
Right, they're like, go Buffalo Bills! And they send it to them.
Never gonna happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think wrestling signets may be the way to go.
Hey, we'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in our after-show meeting. All right.
But if you smell what Craig and John are cooking, have a wonderful week.
Yeah, folks. Thanks for joining us. Peace.
How bad do you think our attention to this show will wait?
Meh. Oatmeal. It's so good. I eat up all day long. Meh, meh, meh.
Meh, 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 meh. Maybe 150. I think we can do 150.
You don't need 200 people to listen to our show?
I wonder if we have more than just you and I listening to our show. And Brian.
I was going to say, I know we have a few other people that are also on TikTok.
Did Jen get shamed into following us?
Probably, yeah. The Rock says...
What were you listening to?
The Rock says...
What drums are you playing?
Don't you worry about it.
This has been a production of WTTP Take Two Podcast. WTTP.
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 WTTP.